That was Suede with Filmstar. Good morning, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music on a Friday morning. It's apparently going to be a fantastically beautiful sunny weekend.
That's right. Although, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was saying, what if it's just a government conspiracy, the whole weather forecast thing? They tell you it's going to be sunny to keep you down, to stop you complaining, to cheer you up, and then it doesn't materialise. Because the last couple of days, they said yesterday was going to be decent, the government.
Yeah. Well, it was everywhere but London.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Local London government.
Do you think? We'll find out. Yeah. This weekend will be proof, and on Monday we'll know whether we're all victims of a shadow weather conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Weather.
A shadowy weather conspiracy.
Welcome to the show. We've got a terrific show lined up for you listeners. We've got great music this hour, some De La Soul coming up, some Calvin Harris, that lovely Edwin Collins track. I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. We're also going to be talking about, you know, kind of friend networks. Mm. MySpace, Facebook, type places, Twitter, what's the other one? Bebo. And thinking about maybe what's next for the friend networking online phenomenon. And also we have Text the Nation in the second hour of our program here today. Our amazing feature with its own jingle that we created specially just this week for the feature.
Yeah, in fact, we'll be serving up a delicious hot waffle for you all morning for breakfast.
High quality, delicious waffle with some inane sauce drizzled over the top.
Let's have some music now, though. This is the Kaiser Chiefs with the Angry Mob. So they're the Angry Mob who read the papers every day.
Yeah, it's just the Kaiser Chiefs.
Is it?
Yeah, they like who they like, they hate who they hate, and they like to buy
the papers.
The papers every day.
If they didn't read all the papers every day, maybe they wouldn't be so angry. Maybe they'd chill out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
So, I had an alarming incident yesterday.
Did you?
Listeners, Adam.
Yeah, what happened?
I tried to log on to my MySpace page.
Right.
www.myspace.com/Joe Cornish.
For the first time in about a month, I imagine you tried to log on.
Yeah. And it had been virusified.
Viralized.
Hackadoodled.
Why?
I don't know, but, I couldn't log in. And then my email inbox started to fill up with messages from my spurious MySpace friends, saying that I was offering them a deal on back-to-school trousers.
Oh, really? They were complaining because they'd been getting weird spam from
They were either complaining that I was, offering them back-to-school trouser offers, or that they tried to buy the back-to-school trousers and hadn't had any luck and the discount wasn't what I was promising them. I suddenly found myself sucked into a school trouser selling kind of confusion.
School trousers?
Mm.
And there was no sort of sexy aspect to this, was there?
What, you mean a sort of dirty one?
Yeah, because usually...
No, it was purely a money-off clothing offer.
That's unusual.
It is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, because usually with the net, anything spam style...
Yeah.
Is either purely financial, like, please give us your bank details, honestly, we're from your bank, look, we've printed the logo of your bank in the corner of this piece of spam.
Usually the Royal Bank of Scotland.
All of them. Barclays, Bank of Scotland, NatWest, anyone will do it. They'll stick the logo in the corner there and ask you to get in touch.
I don't have an account with the Royal Bank of Scotland, but they daily try and get my details from me.
A couple of times I've been tempted.
Have you? To follow the link?
My details. And
put your details
in.
Just in case there's some money waiting for you.
Well, I don't want to, you know, they're carrying out emergency checks. My PIN number's been used. Yeah. They need to check the security. Mm. They need my details. Oh, I better give them...
Anyway, do you want to hear the end of my my MySpace story? I changed my password, put up an apology, and that's the end.
Is it?
Yeah.
You changed your password, so no more spam hacking.
No.
So someone, it's very easy to find the passwords of these things. My brother, who's an IT guy, was telling me that with Wi-Fi as well.
Mm.
It's very easy to hack people's passwords. You know what I mean? If you go and there was a story in the paper yesterday about a bloke who got arrested for using some random guy's Wi-Fi standing outside his house. The cops saw him with his laptop and he was tapping away on his laptop, sat on the wall of some bloke's house. They arrested him for illegally using somebody else's Wi-Fi. He'd hacked into their password.
It's a can of electronic worms.
And he's looking at 6 months, this guy, or a hefty fine. So, you know, don't do any
just hacking. Don't. Just whatever you're thinking of doing today, don't.
Put it down.
Here's De La Soul with Say No Go.
De La Soul.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
It's wonderful stuff.
Still one of the all-time great hip-hop albums. How many years later? 89, 99, 2009, almost 20 years later.
It's amazing.
18 years later.
But it was never a particularly well-produced album.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that it sounded as if it was recorded in a bucket, much of it. And, you know, because they made it all themselves in their bedrooms. And
yeah,
stuff,
but on those terms, it was incredibly well produced.
Well,
I know what you mean. It doesn't sort of sound expansive.
It's not beefy.
It doesn't have all the knob twiddling going on. Yeah, it's not beefy. That's true in the way modern hip-hop albums are. But in terms of the technical achievement...
Yes, absolutely.
It's extraordinary and it was revolutionary. And kids, if you haven't got that album, you can buy it for about £4 now, I think.
Three, probably.
You're mad. You should go and buy it today. Whatever sort of music you like.
Exactly.
Everyone should own 3 Feet High and Rising.
By De La Soul.
Yeah.
And it's actually got some semi-amusing talking bits in between the tracks.
Yeah, one of the first hip-hop albums to feature skits, which since became one of the most annoying features of hip-hop albums. In fact, there's a kind of a phone-in to be done on the worst possible skit on a hip-hop album.
Mm.
But those were pretty good ones, even though even they get quite tiresome after a few listens.
Yeah, yeah. And it's certainly not something you want to stick on a compilation, I wouldn't think.
No, but you can skip the skits. Skits, yeah. Couldn't quite get my mouth around that this early in the morning.
Ooh. now, we were talking about MySpace and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, MySpace particularly. Joe's very keen to boost his MySpace friend percentage.
Yes.
And he's almost at 1,000, folks.
Yeah, come on.
Do you want to be friends with Joe Cornish? Log on to...
There's very little to it.
Well, you can find him. What do you do when you log on to... I find MySpace quite annoying. And I'm thinking of shutting down my...
You've got a MySpace as well, haven't
my
you?
My account. Well, I was told by an agent, she said, because I was going to go over to America, the land of Coca-Cola.
Opportunity.
And golden
nuggets.
And I was going to go over to America. And she said... Listen, you need a MySpace account because people, you know, in America, they need to see the stuff you're doing. You can post some of your videos there, and it's easy for the agents just to log on to your MySpace page. And I said, well, I've got a blog. She said, nah, it's not the same. I said, well, it surely is the same. You just type in the address of my blog, and then you can see all my videos there. No, they like MySpace right now, so you need a MySpace page.
I bet she's not saying that anymore.
No.
Because, in fact, MySpace is kind of over, isn't it?
You would think so.
It's all about Facebook.
How many... Because you can only deal with one of these things at a time. Like, who... What Facebook freak? Like, Edgar, right, our friend, is a... he used to be a MySpace...
He does both now.
Dweeb. Does he do both? Does he maintain them in tandem?
What we're trying to think about here, listeners, is what's going to happen next in the world of electronic networking.
Mm.
The innovation that Facebook brought to the table was that even if you weren't on it, you'd receive an email from a friend who was, and with one click, suddenly you'd have a profile. Right?
Yeah.
That's the Facebook. It's kind of
YouTube
invasive. It's like a virus.
YouTube does send you messages.
It's as if Facebook has a profile for you, even though you don't know it.
Right.
And people are talking about you and inviting you and poking you. It's like there's a party happening. And someone's had a party in your name, in their house. Hey, there's a Joe Cornish party going on. Come along, Joe Cornish. What? Okay, then. It's that kind of thing.
I don't understand that.
I got sucked into... I don't care about Facebook, but yet I'm still on it. You get sucked into it like an evil electronic tendril
wrapping itself
around your ankle.
But does Edgar do both of his pages? Does he maintain them the whole time?
You don't have to really maintain Facebook, do you? You just have to respond.
You do kind of have to. Some people maintain it. Some people spend ages on it.
Yeah, he does both.
Yeah.
Because what's the next one going to be? What's going to supersede Facebook? If you've got any thoughts on this, text us on 64046. You can email us, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. The guy that invented Facebook is 23. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
So there's someone out there who's going to have the next little tiny little incremental progressive idea to push this technology forward. It could be you listening at home. It could be you. Text us in your ideas for the next step that interactive electronic websites should take. And hey, we can share some of the money.
Chum Bucket.
What?
That would be the next.
That's your name.
That's the next site.
That's true. We got to start with a name. Bebo.
Yeah.
Facebook. It's got to be a kind of catchy name.
Yak Bag.
Shall we have some more music while we think?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Emma Pollock with Acid Test. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. We're filling in for Sean Keaveney. He's away for one more week.
He's in Tuscany.
After this, in Tuscany.
Yeah, imagine.
Having a nice Tuscan time.
Tuscan Raiders.
And, yeah, dealing with the sand people.
Is that what the Tuscan American football team are called?
The Tuscan Raiders.
The Tuscan Raiders, and they're all Star Wars themed. Mm. Do you think?
Mm. That's where sand people come from.
If they're not, Tuscany. They're missing a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about the kind of friends networking phenomenon that continues to reinvent itself online, and wondering what would be next for the world of MySpaces and Facebooks and things like that. We were thinking some kind of site where people post scurril and innuendo about you, right?
Yeah, using that Facebook mechanism of receiving an email, which kind of tantalizingly suggests that people are talking about you in another room. You receive an email from this website. What's it called, this website?
Well, we had a couple of names. We thought maybe Jerk Circle.
Slag Bucket. So you receive an email. It says, someone has slagged you off on Slag Bucket.
Yeah, or you're a jerk. Find out why on Jerk Circle.
Well, you might have to offer them a little bit more. It might say something like, Roderick has said you're unreliable and stink. On Slack Bucket. Yeah. Click here to refute these claims.
That's right.
Now, you couldn't not refute those, because as far as you're concerned on Slack Bucket, lots of people you know are gossiping in a malicious way about you, and you'd have to intervene to put it right.
Exactly. I mean, that's the backbone of the whole internet, is people ill-advisedly responding to things that have been said about them anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Provocation.
Provocation, and people can't resist. Like, people responding to
electric
all kinds of criticism.
Provocation.
Electric provocation.
That's my new album title.
That would be a lovely album title.
Yeah.
I'd buy that one. And you know, you can't resist it. As soon as you see something, I mean, probably you and I have probably done ill-advised little bits of emailing in the past, and I've certainly got into a couple of bad contretemps on the internet. It's a disaster area. So, you know, carry on thinking, folks. Give us some of your ideas for directions that these places could go in.
Yeah, what's the next step? What's the next multi-billion pound website that'll convince us all to join it?
We could all get rich off this, you know. Now, it's time for my session track. This is a Peel session from 2001, and it's the White Stripes, one of John Peel's favourite bands, and they're playing a track here called Lafayette Blues. Enjoy!
All right, White Stripes, calm down.
Oh, it's a smash. That's the White Stripes with Lafayette Blues from the John Peel session. Sessions. This is Adam and Joe on the BBC. Time now for the news, read by Adrian and Harvey. Well, that's a good question. I suppose the answer would have to be yes. That's the Buzzcocks with Ever Fallen in Love. And this is Adam and Joe here on the BBC, covering for Sean Keaveney on BBC Six Music.
Yeah, good morning. Hope you're feeling all happy and perky this morning, ready for the amazing weekend that's coming up, the Big Bank Holiday. 3 days of pure enjoyment.
And sunshine. We've been promised sunshine.
Yeah, there's going to be sunshine here in London. As I keep saying, Adam, it has been sunny in the rest of the country.
That's what you say.
But we're broadcasting nationally now.
I know.
It's important to embrace the rest of the country and not be too London-centric.
It has been sunny, like, in a couple of places, but generally the weather has not been great in the UK over the last week. And most
But it is going to be an amazing weekend.
Right.
Yeah? And the best thing is, you got Monday off. So imagine what Sunday night's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy party. Everyone's going to be naked, drunk, throwing their own doings at the wall. It's going to be...
That's my kind of party.
It's going to be incredible. The house is going to be messed up.
Yeah.
The car's going to be driven through the neighbor's front room.
People won't wash.
People won't wash. No, there'll be tents on the roof. All slates missing, sink pulled out of the thing.
Yeah.
Rude words written in lipstick on your mum's bum. It's going to be off the hook.
Man, that is, you've described my ideal party.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my, what, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Can't wait.
It's the mum's bum thing that you like most.
Now I'm thinking of what I'm going to write, because there's enough room there to write quite a bit.
Poor old mum.
Poor old mum.
So listen, we've been discussing what the next step forward will be in the internet social website networking phenomenon. Mm. That's the correct phrase, isn't it?
Yes.
Internet social networking phenomenon. The INFP. We had the idea for, what was it called? Slag Bucket.
Jerk Circle, or Slag Bucket, or Slag Bag.
Yeah, where you receive a provocative email in your inbox informing you that people you don't know or slightly know are talking about you in a malicious way on a website that you then feel compelled to log on to and join.
Yeah.
Because who wouldn't? Here's another idea I've had.
Mm-hmm.
CGI technology, mm-hmm. virtual paintings, have taken massive steps forward. It's easy to do. A toddler can do it now. Mm-hmm. In fact, toddlers made Shrek 3.
Right.
Wrote it and made it.
They were even, so I hear. Even stupid toddlers.
Really?
I believe so. They were subnormally intelligent.
But anyway, it's so easy now that I think a good idea would be to start a website where people that who aren't you, but that know you, make a naked you.
Right. Like they're called Frankensteins
on
the internet.
It's called yourbits.com.
Yeah.
An avatar of you has been created on yourbits.com.
Right.
So somewhere there's a naked picture of you with all your details, all your circles, triangles and tubes on display. All the geometric shapes laid out for all to see. You couldn't not click on that.
So this is not the same as a Frankenstein, because a Frankenstein is just your face grafted onto somebody else's body. But you're talking about constructing it
a nudie
from
exposure.
Scratch.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, telling all.
Yeah, so they've taken pictures of you.
No, they haven't. It's imaginary.
No,
it's,
but listen, they've taken pictures of you and they've sort of constructed from, with a CGI model, what you would look like without clothes.
Exactly.
Right. So it's sort of realistic.
Yeah, oh no, it's photorealistic.
Ooh.
And they've posed you in a revealing pose.
Yeah.
Maybe with a celebrity or something. Now, how could you not click onto that? And the thing is, to access that picture,
mm-hmm.
you've got to put in your details. You've got to log in.
Deets.
And that's the key with something like Facebook. You log in to see what people have said about you,
and
that's
then
it. You're hooked. You're
there.
You're
hooked. You're in the web. Yeah.
So both of those are brilliant ideas.
What would you call that one?
Agree, listeners. Bitbox.
BitTorrent.
BitTorrent. Yeah, something like that. If you've got ideas, listeners, please text us in 64046. Obviously, we're getting hundreds of texts, but it would be true to say that between 7 and 8 in the morning, when our listenership are a bit groggy, we don't get as many texts as we do later in the show. So yours is almost guaranteed to be read out. But if I'm making it sound like we're not getting any, that's wrong, because we're getting millions.
Millions. Music now. This is Arcade Fire with Neighbourhood Number 2.
There you go. There's something else to look forward to on Bank Holiday Monday, Harry Hill's show. That's sure to be great.
It'll be fantastic.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's 7:45 in the morning, and it's Friday, so, you know, you just got to get through today, then it's fun time.
Crackerjack.
Crackerjack time.
Yeah.
Exactly. No excuse to be miserable today.
No, exactly. If you're miserable today, then I hate you.
That's a bit much. What if something terrible's happened?
No, I went too far.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for my session track. And this morning, here's some associates. This is from John Peel, a Radio 1 session on the 28th of April, 1981. What were you doing on the 28th of April, 1981, Adam? You know, you've actually got diaries, haven't you, Adam Buxton?
Yeah, but not from the... I was
not
writing
from 81?
A diary. Yeah, I was writing
that
something.
That would be a cool thing to do when you play session tracks on the show. You could give us a flashback to what you were doing on the day that session was recorded.
My diaries are a little bit erratic. Around then, I was writing a story on a roll of lavatory paper.
Were you really?
Yeah, on a pink
like
roll.
Like the Marquis de Sade.
Exactly. Is that what he did?
Yeah, he wrote his erotic doings on a toilet roll in prison during the French Revolution.
There you go.
There you go, fact fans.
Well, I was doing something very similar. And I was sporting a couple of parallel scratches on my cheek that I got from running through some bushes.
And you thought you looked a bit like Adam Ant.
I looked a lot like Adam Ant. And I thought, I'm the coolest. And when the scars started to fade, I was very much tempted to deepen them.
You know, that's a potential text the nation, isn't it?
Mm.
Visible injuries that after they stop hurting, you are actually quite happy with.
Like Bruce Willis in Die Hard 4.0, he's got a ludicrous set of scratches that are just designed to look cool.
Yeah, or Harrison Ford's scar on his chin.
Yeah.
That's one of the hallmarks of a successful Hollywood action hero is to be able to be scarred in a sexy way.
Sexy and scarred.
Yeah, so anyway, here's some associates from April 1981. This is a track called Me, Myself, and the Tragic Story.
Joe's Pick of the BBC Archive.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, dear, if that hasn't woken you up, nothing will. That's The Associates, recorded for John Peel on Radio 1 on the 28th of April 1981. It's a track called Me, Myself and the Tragic Story. We can't figure out whether that comes off an Associates album or whether that's a track that only really existed live or maybe a B-side or something.
It sounds as if they may have just made it.
As on the spot. They only ever played it once.
Yeah.
So, you don't understand the Associates.
They're good, man. They're a great band.
Do text us or email us if you know the source of that track. But it was a good one, wasn't it?
It was
hardcore Associates.
It had some pretty nuts. It had delightful nuts.
Now, we've been asking you to text us in with your suggestions for the next step that the phenomenon. I'm so tired. What the next step that like social networking sites will take? Carry on talking, Adam, please. Let their beds come in to try and give us a bit of pep. Emergency! Fade up the bed.
Get James Brown in, please.
It's like the radio equivalent of like one of those pulmonary heart restart things. What are they called?
Shocker things. I can't think of my brain normally doesn't even start working until about 2 in the afternoon.
Well, you know, listeners, we're almost at the halfway point in our 2 week stint filling in for Sean Keaveney, and it's been a bit of a cold shower for us getting up this early and trying to be like lucid.
You know, because it's I've got up early in my life before, right?
Yeah.
Because every now and again you have to, maybe to catch a plane or something like that.
Yeah, or if you're filming something for telly, you have to get up terribly early.
But not day after day.
Not day. No, no.
Like maybe 3 times in a row. That's the most it's ever happened to me before.
For us, it's like a kind of David Blaine art magic experiment, isn't it? It's like we're trapped in a sort of glass box suspended over central London very early every morning.
And like through the and I feel like I'm jet lagged the rest of the day.
Do you?
And my groggy brain just gets little snatches of things that I said on this radio show coming back to me, and just some of the malformed, mangled, rubbish sentences that I've come out with just come back to haunt me throughout the rest of the day.
But you know what? The vast majority of people who listen between 7 and 10 will probably be getting up this early regularly.
I know, exactly.
And will think we're a couple of spoiled, mollycoddled, I don't know what the word would be.
Dicks.
Very possibly.
Would that be the word?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be the word.
Yeah, it would.
Anyway, should we have a little bit more music?
Yeah, okay.
While we punish you for saying that.
Oh, come on, I'm allowed that.
Are we going to have some Edwyn Collins? Yeah, this is Edwyn Collins' terrific new single. I love this one. It's called You'll Never Know.
Oh, very good, isn't it? That's Edwyn Collins' new single, You'll Never Know.
I just love hearing his voice. It's like hearing the voice of an old friend.
That's true, isn't it? He was the soundtrack of many of our favourite youthful moments.
Yes. All of which are gone now. We're very old. We've been asking you listeners to email in with your suggestions of how social networking sites will progress in the future, how we can all make millions of pounds like the child who invented Facebook, who's now living in a massive house made out of jelly beans. So here is some of the stuff what you've texted in. First of all, dear Adam and Joe, please read this text out. Love from Andy and Amanda.
That's a good one. Thanks, Andy and Amanda.
I done it. Here's another one.
Is that all I have to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Please read this
I
out.
I thought that deserved to be read out. It's blunt cheekiness attracted me.
I like it.
Okay, here's one that's on topic. The site would be called Nosebag. It would open your emails for you and spread rumours about you. That's quite a good one, isn't it? You just get an email saying, Nosebag has intercepted your emails and CC'd them to the following people.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah, and in order to stop that happening, you'd have to log on to Nosebag.
Mm-hmm.
And Nosebag would have you, it would be able to start selling advertising, and the inventor of Nosebag would be a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah, and it's also not totally dissimilar to what happens already, except in reverse. Because, you know, a lot of the time you find yourself getting emails saying, somebody has sent you a message on Facebook. So you have to log into Facebook to see the message that they could have just emailed to you in the first place.
Dear me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little angry.
You were angry about that.
I was furious there. But, you know, like, all you've done is doubled the time it takes you to read a message.
I know,
could have just
been
an email.
Someone has made the point that Facebook is just the internet anyway.
Right.
It's just the internet called Facebook and controlled by Facebook. There's nothing that Facebook does that can't just be generally done on the internet.
Well, it narrows the field, doesn't it? It makes it more localized, so that it's just that you're just the people that you, presumably you once bumped into that you're dealing with.
Dominic has taken on our idea of the bitsandbobs.com, the site that would create a naked avatar of you that you'd be compelled to log on to check the size of your bits.
Nude you.
He says, I like the bits idea. Could it be like Wikipedia, so anybody who's genuinely seen you naked could edit the photos so they become more and more accurate?
That's a genius
idea. So you would have
idea.
Your nude avatar, and it would say, yesterday this nude avatar was edited by Trish, who you slept with when you were 22, and she's made your winkle smaller.
That's right. Trish remembers that you had an unsightly birthmark in your left inner thigh.
Exactly.
Which she has added.
That's a very good idea, Dominic.
Very good.
Here's one more final one. This is my favourite from Aaron in Radcliffe. The next big internet thing will be a mashup of MySpace and Facebook called Sit on My Facebook.
Right. How is that a mashup of MySpace and Facebook?
I don't know. Let's ask the newsreaders, because it's time for news on BBC Six Music, read by Catherine and Adrian. There she goes with Summer in Her Hair.
Yeah.
Is that a track by Timotei?
That's Beatific Visions.
Does Timotei still exist?
I don't know if it does, you know.
Timotei.
I think it might have been phased out.
Really?
Because they found that it wasn't real sunshine they were using.
Really?
Yeah.
What were they using? Just nuclear bits?
Yeah, all they'd done was fried up some drizzle.
Really?
Yeah, and they'd kind of blasted it with neutrons.
You're so clever.
I know.
You're so clever. You know everything.
I do know. I'm like Stephen Fry.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. It's 8:05. It's the middle of our exciting breakfast show. It's a Friday, so it couldn't be more exciting here
in the studio. If only it wasn't so early. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Struggling a little bit. But we are going to talk to Ben right now because he's our serial thriller today. He's picked out a couple of tracks for us.
Ben Kelly, that's a good name.
Ben, are you there?
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Joe.
Hey,
morning,
you sound like a sensible, level-headed kind of a person.
Well, thank you very much.
And so you should be because you work for American Express.
Yes, I do, for my sins, yes.
What kind of things do you do for them? What will you be doing when you go into the office today, Ben?
Looking on the internet, probably.
And do you spend a lot of time just goofing off and pretending to work and just looking at stuff on YouTube?
I used to, but I have to be sensible these days.
You see, that's a good answer. He's saying yes, but in a way that doesn't compromise his employment.
Yeah, because someone from work might be listening.
They can't fire you retrospectively.
Boss is on holiday, that's okay.
Boss is on holiday, nice. Favourite film, Ben, can we ask you?
I think it's Midnight Express.
Oh, no, that's a great film.
It is a great. It's a weird film to have as your favourite, though, Ben, because it's quite. Do you like watch it, you know, over and over again? Do you come home and think, oh, I really fancy seeing a man molested in the shower, a traumatic drugs bust, and then somebody speared through the back of the head by a clothes peg? Really? Well, they're the three top moments in that film.
Come on, what's the fourth top moment is when he gets a visit from his girlfriend and he's... He's at such a sorry position in his life that I won't go into.
Yeah, kids, if you haven't seen Midnight Express, it's an ideal film to watch when you're about 14, isn't it?
Yes.
And when you sort of don't know that kind of thing ever went down in the world. So there's two recommendations for younger listeners, De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising and a copy of Midnight Express.
Directed by Alan Parker, and tragically, the star of that film is no longer alive. He died very young.
Now, what's he called?
What is he called? Do you know that, Ben?
The actor's name?
Yeah.
It's not Brian Keith. Billy something.
Someone
Billy
can text us that.
We'll find out. For a favourite film, it's surprising you don't know the name of the lead actor, Ben.
Ben, yeah, very strange.
I'm a little disappointed with you, Ben.
Have you ever actually seen the film?
Never seen it in my life.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And you went go-karting last weekend.
He's not six.
You did.
The way you said that, and you went go-karting last weekend.
He is six.
Is he six?
He's a genius six-year-old who works for American Express, advising them on how to make the company more attractive to six-year-olds.
It was my friend's 30th birthday.
Was it? Did you win the go-karting bet?
I was rubbish. I thought all those years of Mario Kart would have paid dividends.
Really?
On my stag weekend, we went go-karting. I was excited about it. I think I may have come second or even won. I got really competitive. Joe had a little kind of brain farked.
I'm with Ben, and because I play a lot of Mario Kart as well.
Yeah.
And I was hoping it would translate to the real world.
It doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't, no. No, well, you don't have anything to fire at
he
anybody.
He was puttering along at the back.
I get so frightened.
To throw out the back.
He got really
exactly.
terrified.
Did you get frightened?
Did you get frightened, Ben?
I had a little skid mark.
That's not very nice thing to
on
say.
The actual track, we're
on
assuming.
On the actual track, of course.
Yeah. There you go. Now, what music have you picked out for us today, Ben?
I've got Primal Scream Loaded and Granddaddy, Crystal Lake.
Oh, Crystal nice Lake. Choices. That's a lovely track.
Does that have anything to do with the Friday the 13th films? The Crystal Lake? Because, of course, it's Camp Crystal Lake where they all get chopped up. Isn't it, Ben? Does that have anything to do with that?
It may well do. Listen carefully to the lyrics. We're going to play that one first. But thank you very much indeed, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, same to you.
Here's the Friday the 13th noise.
There you go. And this is Granddaddy with Crystal Lake.
There we go. That was this week's serial thriller courtesy of Ben Kelly. Thanks a lot, Ben. Nice choices there.
We were talking about where the sample came from in the Primal Scream track Loaded. And it was Peter Fonda in a film called The Wild Angel, all about bikers. I think he made it before Easy Rider, I think.
Did he done it?
He did done it before done Easy it Rider, before I think. One. And that was a little sample from it there. So thanks a lot, Ben. Yeah, good tracks.
Yeah, and hello, we're Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. It's just coming up to 20 past eight. We're doing the breakfast show this week. We've done it all this week, and we're doing it next week.
It's all done.
Week.
It's, yeah. almost, it's more or less all done.
It's all sorted, love.
Should take another week.
Invoice will be in
we'll
the post.
We'll be out.
Don't use it for a couple of days. Let it settle.
Don't worry. Keevney will be back. We'll be here for about another week.
Do you want
That's
me to sweep that up?
Yeah, it's not a problem. We can not paint. Problem. We can fix all that. It's
guaranteed for 2 years.
Have you been
just
having dreams about your builders again?
No. I was telling Adam I had a bizarre dream the other day where I was very angry with my builder friend. Adam and I use the same builder. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
I've got no reason to be angry with him.
No.
But in this dream, I was furious with him. He'd completely re-wallpapered a wall that I didn't want re-wallpapering.
Oh, you idiot.
I was so angry.
Yeah.
I just must be angry about something
and
else.
In your dream, when you were angry with him, were you...
Him.
Were you expressing your anger in a manly way, or were you a little bit... was your voice cracking, and were you sort of shaking and being a bit of a lady?
No, I just get dreams where I'm just full of furious energy and frustration, basically. Frustration.
Right.
That's what my life's all about.
Yeah, because you're keeping it all buttoned
keeping
up.
Keeping it all in.
Keeping it all in, and then in your dreams you turn into a...
Not always, not every night. Yeah. Most nights, but not every night. Anyway, you're not allowed to talk about your dreams. It's boring,
it
right?
It is a little bit boring.
Yeah. Now, listeners, we're going to be doing Text the Nation, which has become one of Britain's most loved interactive things.
It's Britain's favourite feature.
It's Britain's favourite feature in the TV Quick Awards.
Mm.
Yeah?
It's been nominated for a MOBO.
Britain's favourite feature. Yeah, it's an exciting feature that in which we do what we've done all through the show. Invite your texts, but this time with a jingle. Yeah? Is that good enough?
That is what people like.
That's what people want. So that's exciting. And we've got a really kind of slightly cheesy theme to text in on, a sort of good, stupid breakfast show type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because normally, of course, the level of debate and interaction here
is highly intellectual.
It's very highbrow. But we're going to be a little trivial today for you. But before that, how about some more block rocking beats from those Chemical Brothers? Although the track is not block rocking beats, that was a bad introduction because it used the name of one of their other tracks. Anyway, this is called
how about
the Salmon
some Dancing
Dance.
Salmon.
So, how about some Salmon Brothers. Dancing from the Chemical Brothers? That's what I mean.
Who's hungry?
Me, I'm hungry. That's the Chemical Brothers with the Salmon Dance, and that features Fat Lip. Is that the Fat Lip, formerly of the Far Side?
I think it must be, yeah.
It must be. Listeners, Fat Lip is a bit of a genius. He was the lead rapper-type person of a fantastic hip-hop group called The Far Side, who sadly split up after making a couple of amazing albums. But he did release a solo album in America only that I bought a couple of copies of when I was last over there, and it's brilliant. All the tracks are too sweary, so I've never been able to play them on the radio.
Right.
But Fat Lip is a genius.
What's it called, the album?
I can't remember.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll find out for you in a second. I do love it, though. It's one of those albums that I love so much, I never really paid attention to the title.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that? You just stick it in and stick it in iTunes and kind of forget what it's called.
Especially in the computer age, certainly when you load stuff onto your...
Titles are almost becoming, what's the word? Obsolete. Obsolete.
Irrelevant.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a bit of a sort of... It sounds a bit like a nerd track as well, that track. It's a weird sort of amalgam of fashionable, urban music styles by the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah. He says, you feeling me? That's a new street phrase, isn't it?
No.
You feeling me?
No.
Are you feeling me?
No.
Why? What?
Because that's the oldest street phrase.
You feeling me? I only just heard that watching Prison Break the other
really?
Day. Yeah. How long's that been around?
40,000 years.
40,000
yeah,
years?
Yeah,
no one ever
true.
Tells me anything. You feeling me? No, I'm not feeling you. What are you talking about?
Now listen, just before 8:30, we're going to play you a special track, which is the Rebel Playlist winner from Steve Lamacq's show. Can you explain all this business, Adam?
No. Steve Lamacq has, he gets people to vote for tracks that are not currently on the Six Music playlist, and they sort of vote against each other, and then the winner of that gets on the playlist.
And gets played all the time. So this is the winner, it's by Lou Rhodes, it's The Rain. I think this has probably been voted for by a lot of very anxious women.
Ladies.
Lady, it's lady music, listen to this. Lou Rhodes with The Rain. This is Adam and Joel on BBC Six Music. A kind of female Travis Bickle there, waiting for the rain to come and wash all the scum off the streets.
And I said before that because it had won the Rebel playlist on Steve Lamacq's show, it was now part of the Six Music playlist.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong, wrong,
entirely wrong.
Wrong, wrong,
listen,
wrong, wrong.
I can't tell you how sorry I am about that mistake. It's not part
You've
of
misled
the
thousands
It's part of the Rebel
children.
Playlist. That's why it's called the Rebel Playlist, you idiot!
That huge mistake will probably be an item on the news, which is now coming up.
We were joking about playing that yesterday.
We were referring to it as,
and today,
as a sort of a breakfast show cliche.
We're playing it.
Yeah.
That's the Boo Radleys with Wake Up Boo. That was amongst our list of songs that would be great to wake up to yesterday. Other ones I thought of were Sixpence None the Richer. And
this was a list of cliché songs.
Fairground Attraction, perfect. So maybe Sixpence None the Richer will be in the playlist on Monday.
But now, listeners, it's time for our most, in fact, the nation's
the nation's favourite feature.
Radio feature.
Yeah,
here's the jingle.
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
You know what, it's probably illegal to say it's Britain's favourite feature, especially as this is the BBC, the Big British Castle.
That's true.
You can probably be had up on charges and led away
no,
from the
studio.
No, but
it's such a nebulous statement anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, people use it all the time.
Because it's impossible to prove.
The nation's favourite, in fact, the BBC use it all the time.
Right.
The nation's favourite poem, that sort of business.
Yes.
It's not the nation, it's just whoever happens to text in.
That's right.
And I think there's a sort of unspoken understanding that it's a load of bullies.
Do British Airways still call themselves the world's favourite airline?
No. In fact, they call themselves the world's least favourite airline. Now, they spent millions of pounds on focus groups, and that was the conclusion the focus group came up with. The world's least favourite airline. And now, on the tails of their planes, they've got a picture of a miserable middle-aged woman with two toddlers sitting on a suitcase. In fact, she's not sitting on a suitcase because they lost it. Anyway, you get the general idea.
Yeah.
That's not to say that they are the worst airline. They're no better or worse than any other airline.
These are not the opinions of the Big British Castle. They are merely the opinions of Joseph Murray Cornish.
Giving away my middle name there.
Sorry, mate.
Anyway, okay, so it's Text the Nation time, and this is an important event here on the show where we ask you to text us in on a subject of our choosing. It's a sort of a national survey. The results are then given to the government, who make various policy decisions based on them.
Yeah, they
Isn't
amend
that true?
The books. That's true. That is true.
That's true. Parliament will be buzzing about the results of this afternoon. This afternoon, today, this afternoon, what? Hello? This morning, we're asking you to text in, foods that you dislike for absolutely no reason at all.
For sort of infantile reasons. Is it food, just food, or...?
Well, we're going to start with food. We can broaden it to other infantile things. But yesterday, my girlfriend and lovely partner asked me whether I like rice pudding. Out of the blue, she said, "Do you like rice pudding?"
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I don't.
No, who does?
And she said, "Why not?" And I thought, why don't I like rice pudding? And I realised that I hadn't thought about rice pudding since I was about 4 or 5 and had taken a kind of tactical, meaningless decision to dislike it. And you know the only reason I could come up with? Because it looks like maggots in milk.
Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah, or frog spawn.
Exactly.
And that infantile attitude to rice pudding I've clung to for the last 59 years.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Not only does it look like frog spawn, it looks like frog spawn with a poo crust. How's that for you?
Well, that's what old rice pudding does once it forms a crust.
No, but some people like it with the crust, don't they?
So what we're asking you listeners to do is to text us, 64046, or email us, adamandjoe@6music. Well, no, hang on a second. adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Text us with foodstuffs that you dislike for no good reason at all. We're not interested in you having an allergy. We're not interested in you, like, having had some kind of traumatic accident based with the food. We want completely spurious reasons, like, I don't like tomatoes because I can't tell whether they're a fruit or a vegetable.
They're just too squishy.
They're too squishy. They explode like a little man's head. When you bite into them.
Well, my big problem is cheese, of course, and I'm in the position now where I'm still going to dinner parties once in a while and having to sort
explain
of say,
why you don't like cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason.
And why don't you like cheese?
It smells of socks.
It smells of socks.
That's why, because it smells of death and socks, and I'm not having it.
All yeah. Right? So text in your highly immature reasons for disliking a particular food. 64046 is the number. Here's some music. This is, isn't it? We're doing a swap around here. This is Calvin Harris.
I've got tables and chairs in my house. I've got a stinky cat in my house. I've got a brand new lab in my house. I've got a lovely bed in my house. I've got...
Hello, this is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music on The Breakfast Show. It's just gone 9:15.
That was Calvin Harris with, what was it called again? Merry Making at My Place.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of Flight of the Conchords. Some
really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Like now, Flight of the Conchords, listeners, if you don't know about them, they're from New Zealand. They're a comedy duo. They're the latest big thing. They've got a show on HBO. You can download their radio shows, right? Can you?
Yeah.
Naughtily, maybe.
Maybe Naughtily. Yeah. You can also check out their HBO program on BitTorrent. It's well worth having a look
That's
at.
Naughty
I think,
as well.
I think it's going to be...
There's clips on YouTube, right? Put Flight of the Conchords into YouTube and yeah. You'll see their stuff. They're really funny.
It's going to be on BBC Four later this year, I think. And it's well worth looking at.
If BBC Four isn't closed down, thanks to the budget cuts. That's another kettle of worms.
Yep.
Welcome to Text the Nation, the nation's favourite feature... Breakfast show feature. I've qualified it slightly there a bit.
The nation's favourite feature.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is.
Okay, we've been asking you what foodstuffs you dislike for completely immature and nonsensical reasons. Do you want to hear some of the responses, what we've got?
Yeah, well, I'll give you another example before we do. I've got a problem with cauliflower.
Yes,
because it looks like brains. It's like eating the brain.
Yeah, but you know, the ironic thing is it's amazingly good for you. It's a power food.
It's brain food.
It's brain, it probably is brains.
Is it really good for you?
It's veggie brains. Yeah, it is.
Because it's just like white broccoli, isn't it?
Or is that Brussels sprouts? Is it Brussels sprouts that are incredibly good for you? Anything green and sort of raw is really good for you.
Yeah, but it's white, though. Cauliflower is like white broccoli, and it's pointless. It doesn't taste
Well, that's good, man, because what we're looking for is completely irrational reasons.
Yeah, don't like it.
So here's one from Dave. He says, I hate curry. It looks like cat vomit.
That's absolutely true.
Correct. Well done, Dave. Absolutely correct. And anyone who does like curry... it follows, likes eating cat vomit.
That's true. Well, you
that's
know,
not very nice because millions of people like curry.
I love
it. It's one of Britain's favourite foods.
Listen, Joe, I love curry.
Do you?
I was thinking of having one tonight, in fact, as a celebration for getting a lion
tomorrow
morning.
Someone heated up some fishy cat vomit and told you it was fishy curry. Do you think you'd tell the difference?
Now I'm going to think about it. I'm going to maybe have a look.
Here's a good one from Lucy. I can't eat peppers because a boy at school used to fold his eyelids back and it looked like the inside of a pepper.
That's a very good
that's
one.
A really, but that's perfect, Lucy. If this was a competition, which it isn't, you'd get a prize there. So you get a theoretical prize.
That's pretty insane, though.
It is, isn't it?
She worked it out in her head that it looked like peppers, or maybe the first time she saw a pepper, it was like, oh, no, that's like Charlie's folded eyelids. I'm not eating that.
Dan in Woking, here's a very good one. He doesn't like baby corn because it's pretentious. What's wrong with normal-sized corn?
That's a good, good point.
Yeah, yeah, well done, Dan. Absolutely correct. Emma in Huddersfield. I've never eaten cottage cheese because it looks like someone has already chewed it up and spat it into the tub.
We'll have some more of these in just a second. First, here's a trail, and then we're going to have some music from the Small Faces. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Come on. Lazy Sunday by Small Faces. I like the way that he does the first half of that song in his kind of crazy, mockney little voice. And then the second half, he just decides to go rock with it, you know? Lazy Sunday afternoon. It's kind of weird. But it works, and that's what it's all about. Hi, this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music, just covering for Sean Keaveney for a couple of weeks. That's Joe clearing his throat there.
Yeah, it's quite a manly, sort of Edwardian cough.
Very good. Away from the mic. Polite. I like it.
We're involved in the nation's favourite feature, Text the Nation. We've been asking you to tell us your highly immature food dislikes. You know, food that you dislike for no rational reason and that you've disliked since you were a small child, and maybe now you're in your late hundreds and you still dislike it for the same reason.
Infantile aversions. That kind of thing, you know. We were talking about, I've got a problem with cauliflower, because it's like eating brains. Joe's got a problem with rice pudding, because it's like maggots in milk.
Yeah, here's a good one from Bryn in bed. That's, I think, his bed rather than a place. He says, I can't eat, or she, would that be? What sex would Bryn be?
Bryn?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no telling.
There's no telling. He or she is saying, I can't eat mushy peas, because it looks like someone's been collecting bogeys and forming a large green ball of snot.
Well, mushy peas, I mean, that's a disgraceful food.
Yeah, that's quite an obvious one there, Bryn. But no, very good nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Stevie Sticks from Hull. Is that a real name? Stevie Sticks? I hope it isn't. I hate raisins because they look like shriveled up rabbit droppings.
That's exactly what my 5-year-old son said the
really?
Other day. So that's proving.
Really? But they're delicious.
Well, they are. They're lovely. And that's what I said to him. Lovely. I was like, go on, just try one. No, they look like rabbit poos.
Here's a connected one. You know what would be good with these texts is to know your age as well. That would be interesting to know how old you are to have these really immature thoughts. Here's one from Aidan in Ballymena. He says, and this is a very common one, Garibaldi biscuits are thousands of dead flies mashed up, and no one will sway me on that. Again, they're delicious. Yeah. They're known in some places as dead fly biscuits, squashed fly biscuits, aren't they?
Mm.
I think so. And here's another very good one. This is from Wendy. She says, I can't stand the thought of eating sandwich spread because it looks like sick.
Yeah.
When I was going out with my husband before we were married, we'd get back to his place and he would make sandwich spread sandwiches. Ugh!
No, they are revolting.
Says Wendy.
We've got a few more of these coming up for you, but first, here's Juliana Hatfield with her 3 and a track called Spin the Bottle. Juliana Hatfield 3 with Spin the Bottle. It's time now to hear a couple more texts just before we go to the news from our feature, Text the Nation. And we're asking people to text in kind of infantile aversions to various foodstuffs.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for some good ones?
Go on then.
Rob in Birmingham has an aversion to drinking apple juice. Can you guess why?
Is it anything to do with urine?
Yes. I don't like drinking apple juice because it looks like stale wee-wee.
Yeah.
Rob from Birmingham. I'd imagine Rob's in his late 20s, probably.
Stale. He's going he's going for the cloudy apple juice, is he?
Is he? You can get it cloudy or clear.
Yeah. Just like the real thing.
It does. I wonder what. Yeah, let's not go there anyway. No. There's all sorts of things
let's go away from there.
If we were a late night program, but we're not. Here's somebody anonymous who's saying, my stepson won't eat Choco Hoops since his dad cruelly said that they were rabbits' bumholes.
Oh, dear. It's all basically fairly lavatorial.
One day he'll realise, what sort of thing is that to do to your stepson? Imagine the shock on the poor child's face. Plus, it's true, they are rabbits' bumholes. I happen to know there's a big factory somewhere in the northeast. Rabbits in one end. Choco Hoops out the other.
I don't even know what Choco Hoops are.
They're rabbit's bumholes.
Oh, okay.
Tim in Brighton says, weird food dislikes, : I can't eat pork scratchings anymore. Why? Why do you think that is, Adam? Pork scratchings?
Pork scratchings, are they like giant bogey?
No. Do you ever see those pictures of, like, Indian guys who've got incredibly long toenails?
Oh, yeah.
Tim in Brighton says, I can't eat pork scratchings anymore. They remind me of my brother's fungal nail infection. No one's going to be able to eat anything on this program. One final one. And this is, I really like this one. This is from Robin Sheffield. This is good because it's just ridiculous, but yet it has a kind of element of truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes are repellent, says Rob. As appetizing as a bag of pus. Only genetically modifying them to grow in sachets could correct this.
As tomato ketchup?
Possibly, yeah. I know what you mean, Rob. It's that sort of popping thing when you pop a... I never used to like tomatoes, but you know what? I've got into them recently.
Have you?
And they're very good, especially for men. They make men more manly.
Well done. You're a grown-up.
But no, I used to dislike them for the same reason, because when you pop your fork into them, it's like popping a fork into an elf's head.
Into a giant red bubo. Okay, now it's time for the news.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, and in case you don't recognise that jingle, it's Text the Nation, the nation's favourite feature, a kind of survey that we do on some stupid subject, the results of which then go to the government so that they can build new policies and laws around them.
That's true. Incidentally, I should just say that you were listening to music-wise Richard Hawley there with Tonight the Streets Are Ours, and before that it was the Libertines with Don't Look Back into the Sun. Now back to Text the Nation. Joe.
Thank you very much, Adam. Text the Nation today is asking you what foods you dislike for infantile reasons. Things you decided you didn't like when you were a tiny child, and you stuck with that attitude until your adultness years. Here's three more. I've been told by my fellow presenters that some of the ones we were reading out before were a little bit disgusting.
We were drifting into
a bit lavatorial.
Into the bum zone.
Yeah, so we're going to reverse out of that area into a more clean, fresh and sort of healthy area. Here's one from an anonymous texter that actually stays in that area. My friend doesn't like eating bananas because it reminds him of rude behaviour with a man.
What? That's useless.
You think so?
It's not something you think about when you're a toddler, though, for goodness sake.
No, but what if you were an adult, you were with someone of indiscriminate sexuality who you thought might have a crush on you, and you decided you wanted a banana?
You don't have to eat it suggestively, though.
Yeah, but would you actually break the banana off and eat it in that way so as not to give him any ideas? I don't know. Let's reverse out of this. Here's another one. Shush. Foodstuff couscous. This is from Dan in Woking. I don't like couscous because I get bored halfway through eating it. It's a repetitive food. It's a finickety food.
Mm.
It's just like a powder.
Well, it's also quite... It's not exactly a taste explosion, couscous.
No, couscous is boring. He gets bored halfway through. I think that's fair enough, Dan. That's a good reason. Finally, this is from Aidan, who's 38. We assume his wife is a similar kind of age. He's saying, my wife, Catherine, can't eat celery because it gives her, and I quote, a funny feeling in her spine.
A funny feeling in her spine. I know what you mean about that. There's some things that just sort of give you a weird little nerve reaction when you eat them sometimes.
Mm.
You know, like maybe an orange, if you get a weird orange sometimes, you get a little tingle.
A little zesty tingle.
Unpleasant tingle.
Yeah. And then finally, Amy Crosthwaite is basically opening up a big can of worms. She's saying she can't stand fruit in savoury food. And Amy, I agree with you completely. A bit of pineapple on a pizza, to me, is like putting a bomb in my heart.
Yeah. No, it's horrible.
Mix the two.
It's very odd.
But thank you very much for everybody who's texted. All that information will go straight to the Houses
of
Parliament.
To Gordon
Brown. He'll be studying those for the rest of the afternoon. And we
here's my impression of Gordon Brown getting the results of Text the Nation.
Oh, the results of Text the Nation are through. We're going to have to change some policies.
Well, he's Scottish, clearly. Well,
that's quite good, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
I'm like Rory Bremner.
In a way, yeah.
I'm Gordon Brown.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's always struck me as strange, impressionists who have to say who they are. It was very popular in the 70s, wasn't it?
No, they never did that, did they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Okay, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music.
Rigorous radio.
It's 12 minutes past nine. You can tell when I'm struggling because I do a time check. And it's time for... Is it my free choice? Yeah, this is an exciting single, sure to give you a bit of a boost this morning. It's by a band called Rodrigo. It's called Lack of Afro. That's Rodrigo with Lack of Afro. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's 9:15. It's the time of the show when most working people have gone into work, and our listenership is kids, mums, robbers, people in prison, people on oil rigs, people abroad.
I was thinking about Sandra Bullock the other day.
Yep.
Joe, I just wanted to get this off my chest. You know, she's one of the highest paid actresses in Hollywood.
I've met her, Adam.
In the dream lavatory. Where did you meet her?
I interviewed her when I was doing the Radio 4 film programme. I spent 15 minutes in her company and Hugh Grant's company. You know, me and 50 billion other journalists did.
Right. What was that film?
We weren't all in the room. You know, all the journalists had little 15-minute segments, and she was over for...
Two weeks' notice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And how was she? Very nice?
She was beautiful.
She's a lovely, lovely woman.
She had the skin of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Translucent skin. She was lovely.
Just in a bag.
Grant was a little bit temperamental.
Was he?
Yeah.
A little bit sarcastic.
He was tired, sarcastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Bullock was, she was generous in every way.
100% professional.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, you know what? She is maybe the number six or number seven highest paid actress in Hollywood.
She gets £30 a film.
Here's a few of the salaries she's commanded for some of her recent films. Speed 2, Cruise Control, 1997. She got $12.5 million for that.
You know, that's 12.5 million times more than what it made at the box office.
Right. Hope Floats, 1998. A little dip. Only $11 million she got for that one.
Wow.
28 Days. Do you remember that one? She was in rehab or something in that film?
Yeah.
In 2000, she got $12.5 million again. And Murder by Numbers, does anyone recall that one
at all? I recall the police song of the same name.
I think I maybe saw Murder by Numbers on a plane, and the denouement features her hanging from a house that is crumbling into the sea or something, and there's a dirty man, a bad man who wants to push her off the house, and it's...
sounds brilliant.
It's really not.
How much did she get for that one?
$15 million.
Wow.
That's the kind of fee, and one can only assume that she's getting more than that for her more recent films. Things like
The Lake House.
The
Was
Lake
that
House. Her and Keanu. I imagine that re-teaming that pairing must have been very expensive.
Yeah, you saw that one, didn't you, Adam?
I remember
you talking to me about it angrily.
Yeah, it's pretty nutty stuff. But she, I mean, and of course that film was a big deal for Bullock fans and Keanu fans because, as we said, it was repairing this team that actually based their entire career on the film Speed, which is where they first met way back in.
Speed is a classic.
Yeah, 1994. Speed is the film, I think, that made Sandra Bullock's career, and she's kind of relied on it ever since, or relied on the goodwill that that film generated.
So what's your point here, Adam?
I am just curious about actors who have managed to pull this trick off, you know what I mean? Rather than people sort of taking about three or four films to sort of think, yeah, she was pretty good in Speed, but she hasn't really done a film as enjoyable as that since. You know, instead of that, they just carried on paying her more and more and more money, film after film after film. Like, check out some of these films after Speed. The Net. Now that, in retrospect, looks like a classic.
Mm.
Doesn't it?
Mm. It wasn't, though.
No. Two If by Sea. Remember that one?
No.
A Time to Kill. In Love and War. Speed 2, Cruise Control. Hooray! Practical Magic. The Prince of Egypt. Forces of Nature. And it goes on.
It's a parade of stinkers.
Miss Congeniality. That was a hit that a lot of people liked. Did you like that one, Jenny?
Jenny,
Lisa, you're a lady. Did you like Miss Congeniality?
No, I didn't.
No, because you'd have to be insane. You'd have to be clinically insane to enjoy
like
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
And even Miss Congeniality 2 as well, which came out. I mean, it's just baffling.
So you're angry that she's still commanding figures in the tens of millions?
No, I'm curious.
You're curious. How do you pull this off? How do you make bad film after bad film but still command £10 million fees?
What's the secret? I'm curious about it. I'm curious to know if anyone can think of other actors who've had a similar career trajectory. One good film very early on, and then carried on getting paid more and more and more money for stinker after stinker. Now, here's my breakfast single of the week. This is Spoon with The Underdog. Steel Pulse with Ku Klux Klan. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We're covering for Sean Keaveney for a couple of weeks. And today is the end of our first week, and then we've got next week to go. And then that's your lot.
We're debating here about how to handle the weekend. because we've reset our body clocks to get up at 5:30 a.m. I have personally, so I can leave at 6:15, be in the studio for about 6:45, start the show at 7. But the weekend is a dangerous trap.
Right, because you could be reset.
Yeah, we could push it too late. You know, we could get overexcited tonight or Saturday night and find ourselves very tired.
What time have you been going to bed in the evening?
9.
9?
Yeah, and I've been loving it.
I'm loving it.
Last night, I watched 10 Years Younger.
Right.
And then went to sleep. That's a ridiculous program. Have you watched that?
Yeah.
I've got an idea for a sketch, which I don't think is very good, so I'll just waste it here.
Go on, then.
The sketch is you have kind of like a feature that's exactly like 10 Years Younger. The voiceover would be exactly the same, talking about how they've done her lips, changed her clothes, rearranged her hair, you know. But in the pictures, they'd be taking a woman and dressing her as a sort of freakish clown. And
yeah.
Then at the end, she'd just have a huge red nose. You know, she'd just look like a mad old bag woman.
But yeah, we were always going to do that, like, on our show years ago.
We?
Because that's the...
Last night, they turned this perfectly nice-looking woman into a mad old bag lady in this ridiculous polka dot dress, this huge necklace with giant beads, massive clown shoes, painted her face all up with Dulux, did all her hair. They put extensions in her hair, listeners. I don't know if anyone else saw this on Channel 4 last night. They put extensions in her hair. She wasn't used to having extensions. She said, what sort of hair is it? Where does it come from? And the barber said, oh, it comes from another lady.
Nice.
And she looked so sort of disgusted and creeped out by the idea that she'd probably had a prisoner's hair stitched into her own. There's a horror film in there, isn't there? A hair extensions-based horror film.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back shortly. Right now, here's the news. Boy, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The Human
sure
League
does.
With Love Action. That's an album that stands up really unbelievably well. Dare.
Hey, this is Phil talking.
I want to tell you what I've found to be true.
It does, doesn't it? And sorry to interrupt you, Alan Buxton, but they were on one of those stupid, you know, I love the 80s TV shows, The Human League, and they were kind of talking about themselves as if they weren't really a serious band.
Right.
As if they were a sort of novelty band that happened to have a couple of successful albums, then mistakenly tried to go all R&B, didn't they? They went all kind of funky and then kind of lost the plot. And I was watching Phil Oakey talking about himself and thinking, man, don't do yourself down. They're amazing and they sound amazing. I think they're a proper kind of, you know, chapter in pop music history.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they had everything. They were a proper band with real credible roots from part of that whole post-punk scene in Sheffield there. And then they came out with Dare, which was just unexpectedly massive. You know what I mean? That sold millions of albums.
And then what was their second album called that had the Lebanon on it and Louise and stuff like that?
Oh, what was it called?
And Keep Feeling Fascination. That was an amazing album.
Mirror Moves, was it called? No, that's the Psychedelic Furs.
No, they did a song called Mirror Man.
Yeah.
But whatever, that was a great album. In fact, there's a track off that called Louise. Do you remember that track?
Yeah.
That my girlfriend can't listen to because it makes her feel too sad.
But yeah, that was a really good album. But that was the one that sort of put the mockers on their career a little bit, because they wanted to go away from the whole synthy sound, strip it down, make it more guitar-y, you know. So, and ABC had a similar career trajectory. You know, they had the massive Trevor Horn produced Lexicon of Love, which is an amazing album. And then they came back with Beauty Stab after that, which totally flummoxed everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there you go. A little bit of 80s music info for you there. Early on before that, Adam was talking about the fact that Sandra Bullock, the sexy speed lady, that's what I like to call her, has made one good film and then a load of old trollops, but still been paid huge amounts of money.
Yeah, like one of the most huge amounts of money ever. And like Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood. Has a man ever seen this film? That's what I
don't
want to know.
Men aren't allowed to see it because it's
you're a
Divine
man,
Secrets.
That's one of those film titles.
We've got two ladies here.
That makes
Lisa and Jenny,
care.
Are you members of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood? What is it? And what are its secrets?
It's an adaptation of a hugely popular novel in the States, and the kind of thing that probably made it to number one in Oprah's book club. But it's not a film I really want to see, so I'm actually unfairly prejudging it. It might be amazing. If you're a man and you've seen it, I really don't want to hear about more women who love it, because I know women love it.
Hey, look, I've found the bit of the microphone that actually makes me sound proper.
Ooh.
Instead of this bit over here. Okay, here we go. Here's a text from someone called Phil. He says, Ben Affleck. He did Goodwill Hunting. Then the last 10 years have been a serious, can we say that word? Dogmark fest of eye-gouging films. Yeah, is that true? Has Affleck was in, was he in Armageddon? That was a stinker.
Was he in Pearl Harbor, Affleck?
Was he? I feel like he was, yeah. He was in Jiggly. It's true, poor old Affleck. What must he feel about Matt Damon getting it right?
But he still paid a lot of money to turn up in things, Affleck.
Affleck,
so he's a good example
of paid a lot. Very good example there. Here's another one.
I mean, Keanu has had a similar career trajectory.
Well, Lizzie here is
although
saying...
Although I guess he did The Matrix, didn't he?
Actors who are not much cop but who make inexplicably tons of money, Ewan McGregor and Clive Owen, says Lizzie.
I disagree that Ewan McGregor's not much cop. I mean, it's the same with Bullock. This is the thing, is that Bullock is talented. When she's good, she's really good, you know.
Yeah.
And she's definitely got something. But it's strange. She seems to fritter away her talent on mad projects. But McGregor's a good example of someone who does seem to come out with film after film.
He's been felled by Star Wars, hasn't he? That was a mistake for McGregor. Shouldn't have taken the wars. And finally, Chris in Hackney agrees with you, Adam. Keanu Reeves is a monosyllabic goon who lucked out with The Matrix after making many stinkers.
Oh, dear.
I can't agree with that, Chris. I'll take Bill and Ted any day. He's been in some good stuff, Keanu. Can't think of it all right now, but I'm sure it exists.
Johnny Mnemonic. Right now, it's time for one of my free choices. This is from a great album that came out last year. Oh, it's not. Okay, sorry. This is my free choice is coming up soon. I'm going to play some Young Knives for you, Young Knives fans. But right now, here's a track from the album of the day. This is Rilo Kiley with Give a Little Love. So there you go. On Bank Holiday Monday, not only have you got Harry Hill to entertain you at 3 PM here on 6 Music, but you've also got a whole day of reminiscences about a landmark year. 10 years ago, can you believe it? 1997, the last time that me and Joe were on TV.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. But
we were big in 97, man.
We were doing third series.
Why has BBC Six Music got Werner Herzog doing its trails?
The German guy.
Play the guy that does the... Play that one that's got saying our names in a German accent. Because it sounds just like Werner Herzog.
Because it's sexy. BBC Six
Music. Adam and Joe for breakfast.
No, that
sounds like Michael Gambon.
That's just how it is running in off the street. Who are Adam and Joe?
For breakfast.
Like a big troll who's going to eat us for breakfast.
They've just edited out a portion of a conversation with a homeless person and they've said...
Is that what they've done for cost-cutting?
Yeah, they've just said, we're going to give you... If you just chat to us for a bit, we'll give you a couple of quid and you can meet... and you can eat, rather, Adam and Joe for breakfast. And he's gone, why would I want to do something like that and eat Adam and Joe for breakfast?
And they just used the last bit.
And they've just chopped out the last
part. I want to hear the Werner Herzog one again.
Does it as a trail. We'll hear it later on, but first...
Your hands and your hair.
Your hands
and your hair.
The forest is full of murder.
It's time now for my free choice. This is a track from the excellent Young Knives album, their debut album, which is called Of Animals and Men. I don't know if you've heard this one, Joe. It's called Another Hollow Line.
No.
And it's got some very entertaining harmonizing in it. Like when the chorus comes along, first of all, listen out for the harmonies that these guys pull.
Okay.
Because they're insane. This is called Another Hollow Line. That's Interpol with Mammoth. And that's almost it for us here on a Friday afternoon on 6 Music.
Yeah, let's just clean up one or two little emails. The Human League album in question is Hysteria. Thanks for Chris. Of course it was Hysteria, wasn't it?
Hysteria, there you go.
Some people complaining about us being rude about film stars. Keanu made My Own Private Idaho. Much Ado About Nothing, says Miss Angie Reeves. She liked them. I agree with the former, but not with the latter.
Was it Much Ado About Nothing? What, you like Much Ado About Nothing, but
no,
not
no, no, no. I'll take My Own Private Idaho, but not Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado? Shakespeare never got better.
Thank you. And someone, Chris Fieldsend, says that Changing Lanes is excellent and Ben Affleck's in it. And finally, Martin in Kensal Green in London. Gentlemen, it may only be me, but does anyone else find Sandra Bullock's nose freaks them out? I'm convinced it belongs to Michael Jackson.
I like Sandra Bullock's nose, that little upturned nose. Well, there's a girl in Emmerdale, isn't it, who has almost exactly the same nose, and she looks very much like Sandra Bullock if you cover up her mouth. Which is a fun thing to do if you ever bump into anyone from
You soap. Can't end the show by encouraging listeners to cover up women's mouths.
I think you
can. What a way is that to go out. Listen, thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back on Monday morning at 7 a.m. with our special celebration of 1997. We've been Adam and Joe. We'll see you next week.
Have a great weekend. Here's Lush.